Well, over the last 3 weeks, again today, we've been looking at the book of Malachi. And what we've seen is that it's a message from God to a people who have been called by him, the people of Israel. And in the midst of some really tough times, the Lord has been with them and he has richly blessed them. But even so, they were a people who had some pretty serious failures to live as God had called them to. Malachi zeroes in on some of those failures and he challenges them to repentance, to turn away from their sins and to bring their lives back into line with how God would have them live. So Malachi's message is, while it's a reminder of God's love, it's also a warning of his judgment and a call to repentance. Now, love and judgment are aspects of God's being that don't always sit easily side by side. Lots of people would prefer to think of the love of God and either overlook or completely downplay the fact that the God who loves us is also the God who will one day be our judge. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible would be John chapter 3, verse 16, which speaks to us of the love of God. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, what is often not acknowledged in that verse is that as well as containing a statement of God's great love for us and his promise of eternal life, there's also in it a warning. And the warning is that if we reject God's love, then we leave ourselves open to a grave spiritual future. John 3:16 is a passage of scripture that sets before us two very different eternal destinies, either receiving the gift of eternal life or perishing. And this bringing together of love and judgment is spelt out in the verses that follow John 3:16, where John writes, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. However, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So the consequence of rejecting God's love and failing to live in the light of it is to leave ourselves open to God's judgment. We see this in the message of Malachi, and we hear it too in the message of the gospel, both of which set before us two very different destinies. In the gospel, Paul writes in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the writer, having described who Jesus is and what it is he has done for us, asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So Malachi is reminding us of God's love. He's also warning us of God's judgment. But he's also looking forward to the future that God has in store for his people. And in the first verse of chapter 3, Sam quoted earlier in the service today, the Lord promises to come to his wayward people. He says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Now we see the fulfillment initially of that in Luke chapter 3 when John the Baptist is identified as the one who comes to prepare the way of the Lord. He writes, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. He went out into all the country of the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he says that was in fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah had said. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now, a favourite Christmas carol of many people is Charles Wesley's hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I've lost count of how many times I've sung that in my life. What's often not recognised when that carol's sung is that one of the verses in it is actually inspired by this passage we've heard this morning from the prophet Malachi. And that verse goes like this. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. So Malachi speaks of a saviour who will come to faithful Israel, and he describes this coming saviour as the Son of Righteousness who will bring healing. He writes, for those who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. But before the coming of this Son of Righteousness, he speaks of the coming of an Elijah-like figure who will prepare the way for the coming of that one. Verse 5, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, the meaning of that promise is made clear by Jesus himself in Matthew 11, when he tells his disciples that John the Baptist is that Elijah who is to come. John, remember, he announced that the kingdom of God was at hand, and in the light of that he called upon people to repent, to prepare for the coming of the kingdom by turning away from their sins. So his ministry was calling people afresh that repentance, to that change of heart that the prophet Malachi had called the people to more than 500 years earlier. Now, we're starting to get pretty much into Christmas mode now in a big way. And Christmas, being the celebration of Jesus' birth, is a powerful reminder to us that God is faithful to his promises. Four times in the book of Malachi, he looks forward to the time when God's greatness will be recognised not just in Israel, but beyond the borders of Israel. And we see the fulfilment of that in the account of Jesus' birth. Matthew in chapter 2 describes for us that after Jesus was born, he was visited by people from the east, who were variously described as the wise men or the magi. They came to pay homage, these wise men from another culture, to the newborn King of the Jews. And we see that it wasn't just at the time of his birth that we see the wider significance of Jesus, not just for Israel, but for all people, because after he had risen from the dead and immediately prior to his ascension into heaven, he gave that great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. So Jesus is for all people. He has come. Malachi speaks of the time looking forward to when he will come. And he calls upon people in the light of that to repent. But today's reading really reminds us just how far people in Malachi's day had strayed from God's ways. A new dimension of their failure to live as God's people, to honour him as such, comes out in today's reading. We see in chapter 3, verses 14 and following, they were also erring, not just in the things they were doing, but also in what they're actually saying to others about the way God was treating them as a people. You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mortals before the Lord Almighty? That question, what do we gain, is a very revealing question. It's the what's in it for me attitude. It shows how thoroughly self-centered their lives have become. It's the sort of attitude that says, what do I get out of serving God and obeying his commandments? What good does it do me to be sorry for my sins? That sort of thinking is not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, to love our neighbours as we do ourselves. Yes, it's okay to look after ourselves. We need to do that. But when self-care generates into self-love that is blind to the call of Christ, we turn in on ourselves and we begin quickly to act in ways that are not pleasing to God. If life is tough for you at the moment, or has been tough for you in the past, you might sometimes have thought or be thinking, well, people without faith are better off than me. But if we're having that sort of thought, it's because we're judging things by the way the world sees things rather than how God intends them to be. We see that this was the very mistake the people of Israel are making. Verse 15, but now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. We don't have to look far for examples of evildoers prospering. Life certainly has no shortage of people who prosper by lying, cheating and stealing. It's a very natural sort of thing to think then, well, if they can get away with it, perhaps I can too. It might be in big issues, but often it just begins in much smaller ways. And with those small unchecked thoughts are unchecked, they grow like a cancer and they begin to shape our souls and therefore our behaviour. Even though we may not recognise it, we then become part of the problem that we're only too quick to identify in others. The root problem that Malachi recognises in the lives of people is they are envious. And to deal with that problem of envy, what we need to do is cultivate an attitude of contentment. In contrast to the arrogant evildoers and those who envy him, Malachi speaks of those who feared the Lord. He says that those who feared the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. God was not pleased with the people of Israel, but there was a group of people within Israel, the faithful remnant, with whom he was pleased, those who feared him. Now the fear of the Lord, of which Malachi and other Old Testament writers speak, is not the fear of cowering before God or the fear of literally being afraid of him, but rather it's the attitude of heart that has a proper reverence and respect for him. And it's that attitude of heart that leads to right living before him. It's also interesting to note this verse, Malachi 3:16, also talks about the people talking to each other. They had this sense of belonging together as God's people, and that gave them a powerful source of encouragement and of correction when they were inclined to doubt God's blessing on them as a people. And that is the calling he had placed upon them. He loved them, he called them. Malachi, to reassure them, says, the scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honoured his name. God knows our every thought and action, the innermost thoughts we have. He knows whether or not we truly honour him. And while the ungodly might prosper for a season, the day of judgment will surely come. In the light of that, Malachi reassures and warns the people. The Lord says, on the day when I act, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The judgment of God mightn't be a popular theme these days. While people might readily accept the idea of God as love, that affirmation with which Malachi began his message, that truth should not be distorted to mean that therefore people will get away forever with being held accountable to God. Because if there is no ultimate judgment, there is no final triumph over evil. We need to remember that God is both loving and God is just. He expects a lot of his people. And therefore, the Lord calls upon his people through Malachi to return to him. That same message, hundreds of years later, that John the Baptist would issue. The human heart being what it is, tainted by sin, means it's a message we need to hear over and over again. Return to the Lord. Our natural inclination is to wander from God and his ways. And that's why we need to be people who truly acknowledge our sins before God, confess them so that we might receive his forgiveness. And that forgiveness is ours through this promised Christ who has come to us. We need not only though to receive forgiveness, we need to positively turn away from sin and resolve in the power of the Spirit to follow God in our lives by the way we go about each day. Put our trust in the fact that Christ has died for us. That's the expression of God's great love for us. And his love is poured into our hearts through the Spirit who was given to us. And it is the Spirit dwelling in the hearts of those who believe that enables us to be that faithful people we are called to be. People who honour God, not just by the words we speak, but by the lives we live. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare at this time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we thank you for the great love you have shown us in sending him to be our Saviour. Father, we pray that the knowledge of that love might truly guide our lives. Help us to be a people who are faithful to the calling you have placed upon us. Help us to be a people who honour you by the way we go about our lives. Father, help us never to forget that one day we stand before you as our judge. We do not fear that day. We look forward to that day when we will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we pray, Father, that we might be found faithful on that day. In Jesus' name, amen.